Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Stu Powell from Climate Consulting. How are you, Stu?
Good, thanks. Good.
Excellent. We're in sunny Marlborough today, but there's a bit of a frost last night, you were saying?
Yeah, it was a little touch around, yeah.
And we're going to be talking a wee bit about frost protection, topology, and all sorts of great things today. So, but first, you used to run a company in Marlborough doing consultancy work for vineyards.
Yes, that's right. It was actually a nationwide company, and we used to advise on frost protection needs for vineyards and orchards as well. But the bulk of our work was working with vineyards.
Mm. Okay, so frost is quite a problem for vineyards.
Yes, it is. Yes, and continues to be so.
What is frost, though? Just to, I know it sounds crazy. Everybody knows what a frost is, but from a climate's point of view, what is it?
Well, a screen frost or an air frost is the temperature at zero degrees at a height of 1.3 meters above the ground. And then a ground frost is actually a temperature of 0 degrees recorded at 1 inch or 25 millimetres above the ground.
Okay, so there's two types of frost, is there?
There is, yes.
And what causes it? Is it just air temperature?
Yes, it is. And at different rates of cooling. The closer you are to the ground, generally speaking, the cooler the temperatures are during a radiation frost. So the grass temperature or ground temperature will generally be cooler by several degrees than the temperature at screen height or 1.3 metres.
What's a radiation frost? Is that?
A radiation frost occurs under a clear sky and light winds. Now, the other type of frost is an advective frost, which we don't get much of in this country, New Zealand, but you're probably more familiar with them in the Northern Hemisphere, and they will occur under cloudy conditions, quite often quite strong winds, and where there is a constant cooling of temperature as you increase in height above the ground. That's an advective frost.
Which one's a worry for vineyards?
Well, they're both worries for vineyards, really. There's one you can protect against and one you can't. And you can protect against radiation frosts because you can draw down warmer air above the ground in an inversion.
Yeah.
It's more problematic to protect against advective frosts because there is no warm air there. And often winds are quite strong, and so a lot of conventional frost protection just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll get on to frost protection later on, what you can do about it. But you were saying earlier that when we were chatting that you could look at a vineyard or a possible site and have a pretty good idea about whether this place is going to have frost or not going to have frost.
Yeah, pretty much.
What are the key things you're looking for when you look around?
Yeah, topography is the biggest factor that determines where frost will go. Frost generally follows topography quite closely, and cold air, like water, will drain into lower-lying areas. But there are a few other complicating factors that that I would look at to pin that down.
So frost is a cooling, but it flows.
It does, just like water. Yeah, it flows in exactly the same way as water does.
So is it just cold air flowing?
Exactly. Mm. It flows in response. The cold air is heavier and denser than warmer air, and so it literally just flows under gravity, under response of gravity, down to lower-lying areas.
Okay, so if you're on a hill, are you more frost-prone because cold air is flowing through, or is it not so bad because it's just moving through and getting away?
It's not so bad because it's moving. It's where the cold air has a chance to sit and accumulate and build. So you're actually more likely to have problems at the bottom of a hill or the bottom of a slope or in a basin type scenario.
In the UK, they get excited about, wind chill factor.
Okay.
So isn't the fact that the frost is moving going to make it even colder?
Humidity can play a part in that, but by and large, your coldest temperatures will always occur where the cold air has a chance to settle, mm-hmm. and you don't have that wind moving the air around. So.
Okay, and I understand things like Central Otago, where they've got a river running through it, the cold air flows down the hill, and it's sort of sucked along or sucked away by the river.
Yeah, at times the wind velocities next to rivers or deep gorges at night can become quite strong, and there's actually enough turbulence that develops in those settings to actually keep frost away. just through the sheer speed of the drift winds that are channeled through those valleys at night.
So you turn up on site, you're looking at sort of the slopes and trying to work out if a place is in a bowl or a basin of some sorts. So that's obviously really bad news.
Yep.
Is there anything else you're looking for?
Yeah, there are a number of other things, like shelter belts and trees, for example. Shelter belts are either your worst enemy or your best friend when it comes to frost, depending on which side of them you're on. Shelter belts, if they're thick enough, can have quite an impact on impeding cold air drainage at night.
So you can almost guide the cold air around your vineyard?
You can, but I wouldn't set yourself up for trying to do that. You'd probably end up creating more problems than anything else. But yeah, trees and shelter belts really do have quite a big effect. And so do water bodies like lakes, rivers, dams, all those things, buildings, all have quite a big effect on where cold air goes and how whether you're going to receive the effects of frost.
Is that because water has quite a lot of heat stored in it?
Exactly.
And buildings, I presume, like in London, there's they talk about the big city effect where cities, because there's so much concrete and heat there,
exactly,
it takes longer to chill down.
And forests as well will actually retain quite a significant amount of heat at night, and that heat is released quite slowly relative to a grassland or a farmland.
Okay.
So as air moves through that forested area, it actually picks up the thermal character of that surface, and if you're downwind of it, then often your temperatures will be elevated.
Oh, okay. So if you think of places like the Mosel, where often they've got forests along the top, that is actually a really good thing.
Can be, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so some people have been planting up around there. So that could have more frost issues for them further down the field.
It could do, yeah.
Oh, okay. Excellent. So you're looking for things like thermal sources, really, aren't you?
Yes, you are, yeah.
Thermal sources, the flow, where it's flowing from.
Yes.
Does heat cancel out cold, or do they mix up? Or
they generally mix. You know, if you had a reasonably large water body or a lake or a dam, or a forest, it'll influence temperatures for 1 or 2 kilometres downwind, and then things generally mix up and become fairly homogenous, you know, so.
Okay, so you can get quite complicated, almost eddies of cold and warm.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, and is there anything else you're looking for?
They are the main things, but by and large, topography is the biggest influence, and it's not just the local scale stuff, it's topography on a regional scale, so we're talking, in some cases, many, many tens of kilometres in scale, so.
Let's look at, we're in Marlborough at the moment, and it's your backyard, you know it quite well. What sort of issues have you got in Marlborough with regards to frost? Let's use Marlborough as an example of sort of the region, and just sort of give me some examples.
Well, the topography surrounding Marlborough here in the top half of the South Island is very complex. So it actually offers a lot of shelter from prevailing winds that affect much of the rest of the country.
So Marlborough's got a set of hills on one side. It's almost in a valley.
It's almost surrounded by hills, except for one small opening to the coast. Yeah. So what this does is it provides a remarkable climate for growing all manner of crops, including grapes. But of course, it also predisposes the area to frosts because it's quite sheltered at night. So really, it's having the key is having an understanding of how that topography affects the weather conditions and then can cause frost. Mm-hmm.
So you've got lots of valleys coming off the Wairau River. So is frost coming down the valleys?
Yes, it does. Yeah, because the valleys, as you move away from the coast, generally increase in altitude. So at night, the cold air will drain down back out toward the coast.
So if I'm up the Waihopi Valley, and that feeds into the Wairau River,
it does,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
So will you find, even though you've got moving water, which might help people in the Waihopi Valley a wee bit, you're actually pulling down all the cold air from there into the main Marlborough Valley, into the Wairau Valley?
Yes, it does work like that. Although the Wairau Valley is a little larger than the Waihopi Valley, and so by the time you mix those two air currents up and you go downwind a little bit, there's by and large the temperatures are going to reflect the air currents moving down the Wairau Valley than the Waihopi, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so. Okay. So where it joins in, there might be an effect, but exactly. Pretty quickly you get away from that effect.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what other big topographical things?
Topographical.
What other topographical things are in Marlborough, in the Marlborough Valley or Wairau Valley?
Well, I guess that the two main rivers, being the Wairau River and the Waihopi River, are the and their associated valleys, are the two biggest influences over our local nocturnal climate.
What about Blenheim as a town centre or Renwick? Do they provide much thermal heating?
Not really. They're not really big enough.
Yeah.
Because there are some small scale effects during the warm months of the year, but during the winter time, they're not really big enough to create any significant heat island effect.
What about Awatere, Eunice? So you're going over the hills now into another
yes.
set of valleys.
Yes.
Anything there that you need to be aware of? I presume it's colder because it's further south. But
actually, no. It's the frost risk in the Awatere Valley is slightly less than the Wairau Valley. It tends to be exposed to a higher incidence of stronger synoptic winds, which are pressure-driven winds at night. Mm-hmm. The valley, too, is narrower and steeper, has steeper sides. So this tends to concentrate katabatic drift winds that blow down the valley at night. And this generally it keeps frost away, or at least it minimizes the risk of frost.
So you've got steeper sides generating faster winds, which help reduce the frost risk.
It's not to say you won't get frost recorded there, but the incidence of it is generally a little less.
Okay, and I suppose the closer you get to the sea, the less risk of frost because you've got that big thermal body there?
You might think so, but not always, because quite often at night the winds blow from the land to the sea. So you can actually be right on the coast and still get a frost because the cold winds at night are coming from the land and blowing offshore.
Yep.
So you can actually still have quite a frost risk even though you're right on the coast.
Do you get any weather coming up?
Yes, we do actually. The easterly, which is a sea breeze for Marlborough, northeast to easterly wind is a sea breeze, and that has quite a significant cooling effect during warmer months of the year. And so obviously the further inland you go, the less influence you have from the sea breeze.
That's that classic continental versus maritime.
Yes, it is. But so generally, within the first 5-7 Ks of the coast, you'll be subject to the sea breeze on several months of the year.
Mm. Sure, sure. Any other areas in New Zealand that you need to be worried about frost?
Many. Yeah, there aren't too many areas in New Zealand that escape frost.
Yeah, yeah. What are the worst ones you know about?
Well, Marlborough, Canterbury, Central Otago, certainly the South Island over the North Island has a much higher risk of frost. The central areas of the North Island are quite frost-prone too because they're quite elevated.
Yeah.
But by and large,
altitude's another big one.
Yes, it is. Yeah, certainly when you start climbing over about 500 metres, your frost risk really increases quite significantly. By and large, the frost risk in New Zealand decreases as you move north.
Sure. What about Waitaki Valley? Is that frosty or is that a problem?
It is frosty. Once again, though, it's a valley that has reasonably steep sides, I should say, and yeah. So the air currents through that valley at night are quite significant, and that does reduce the frost risk for those growers in that part of the region. They still get frost, but they're not as severe as you think they might be for that latitude.
Central Otago is almost continental, so I imagine that you could get some quite nasty frost.
Yes, you do.
And what about you've got the Clutha and the Kawerau River?
That's right, yeah. And all those rivers, because they're so large, tend to modify the local climates there quite a lot, so and frost as well. So, you know, traditionally, perhaps 50, 40 years ago, growers would plant right beside the rivers because they knew that at night they would get warm currents flowing off the large water bodies, the rivers and things that would keep their crops a little bit warmer.
Fantastic. All right then, Stu, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.